Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship today. There are a few announcements, and first I would like to give a special welcome to Marie Coates, who is here this morning to provide our messages for us. Marie served our district for many years now as a Christian education director, and she is an active member of the Janaid and Hutton Moravian Church. So we're very happy to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Also, Brown Bags and Big Ideas will meet tomorrow at noon at Tuscora Park. Pastor Ben will not be there, and Pastor John from Dover First, but I'm sure there will be wonderful conversation and leadership. Christian Education Committee will meet on Monday, July 25th, and also the elders will meet that same evening, and those meetings will both be at 7 o'clock. And then Cares and Prayers will meet Wednesday, July 27th, and that'll be at 1 o'clock here at the church. And then this week, our youth, our older youth, are at Tar Hollow, but we still have Camp Bethany that younger children ages 3 through, not ages, grades 3 through 6 can sign up for. And Camp Bethany is the first week in August. So there are registration forms that you can fill out and get those in soon. We also will have the fourth Sunday choir that will meet in the Sunday school room next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And then we're going to have our birthday and anniversary Sunday. It'll be the last Sunday of this month. That's July 31st, right after worship service. And I'd like you to please consider providing a birthday cake for that. If you would like to do that, you'll need to go down and sign up in the narthex. It's right at the bottom of the steps coming up to the sanctuary. And then you'll need to see Linda Karcher to arrange payment. Also, there are pre-orders for the daily texts that are due by August 13th. And the reason we're doing that so early is because we can get a 10% discount. And we want to do one big order so we can save on shipping costs. That sign-up sheet is also in the narthex. I think that's it for announcements this morning. Please rise as we extend the right hand or right wave of fellowship. Please remain standing as we join together in our watchword for this week. Oh my goodness, there it is. The bulletin I have doesn't have it. It comes from Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too wonderful to the Lord? And let us remain standing for our opening hymn, Stand Up and Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
as we pray together the liturgy for adoration. This is the day the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising to the setting of the sun,
the name of the Lord be praised.
Glory be to you, Lord God, our Father.
You are the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes.
You chose us in Jesus Christ our Lord before the creation of the world.
You rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of your dear Son.
In our union with Christ, you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
You have made us worthy to share in that which you have reserved for your people in the kingdom of light.
Your love is so great that we may be called the children of God.
Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we join in proclaiming the glory of your name.
Honor and glory be to you, Christ Jesus, Son of the living God.
To you be glory at all times, in the church which waits on earth for you, and in that which is with you in heaven, now and forever.
Jesus, you are the eternal Word who became a human being and lived among us.
Those who were yours saw your glory, the glory which you received as the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
In you, the full content of the divine nature dwells in a human body. You are the true God and eternal life.
Through you, the whole universe is reconciled to God.
You made peace through your death on the cross.
Therefore, God raised you to the highest place above and gave you the name which is greater than any other name.
Glory be to you, Holy Spirit, our teacher, guide, and comforter.
We proclaim your righteousness and praise.
You pour out the love of God into the hearts of all believers and make their bodies your holy temples.
By our own reason and strength, we cannot believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him, but you call us through the gospel and enlighten us with gifts of grace.
You dedicate us to God in the true faith, and you enable us to remain in union with Jesus Christ.
We praise you together with the Father and the Son, now and forever.
Together.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in the thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry,
and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. And forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
The Lord says, I, even I, am the God who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more. Please stand. Lord, make us truly one in spirit with all your faithful people as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him and all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
needed.
The New Testament scripture today comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 28. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is in the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hold held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now as we enter into a time of prayer, we extend prayers this week for all the clergy, staff, and campers that are at Tar Hollow for the first time in 2 years. There are over 50 kids signed up and 30 staff in support. We also want to extend prayers for our program leader, Bishop Sam Gray. He is coming up from the Southern Province to provide that program. We also have prayers of sympathy and resurrection for the family of Bev Palou after her passing from pancreatic cancer. She was a cousin of Linda Bennington. We uplift prayers of healing for Donna Swaldo, Tammy Reynolds, Janet West, Lynn Charlie Reichman, Dot Traxel, Tim Reynolds, Tammy Bennett, Corey Beitzel, Dave Poole, Ryan Castor, Paige Martin, Corey Smith, those who have COVID-19 or are recovering from it, and all of those who work in wings and intensive care units that help those COVID patients. We continue to pray also for the health, safety, and peace of our world. We pray for the peace of Ukraine and its thousands of refugees and our entire world. Let us go to the Lord in silent prayer. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for the season of Pentecost in the life of the church. May we continue to listen to your voice to guide our lives and our sense of community. May we feel restored and recommitted to serving your kingdom. We pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. We pray for all those hurting souls and wounded spirits. May we all feel the presence of God light up our lives and our world. We uplift these prayers and the prayers of our hearts to you. Amen. We turn to our time with our hearts and minds turning to our offering. We again thank everyone who does give through svmchurch.org. And for those of you who are here and would prefer giving in person, there is a plate on the back usher's table. We want to continue to encourage you to be good stewards of the gifts that God gives, the spiritual gifts, the financial gifts, and the physical gifts. Please stand for our doxology. Our prayer of dedication. Gracious God, we listen for your invitation to forget our daily stress and to unwind in your presence. In your presence, we find peace beyond needless worries and everyday troubles. With gratitude, we worship you with these gifts and with spirits renewed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So if the children would come up for the children's message.
Hello. I'm going to sit right here on this step and you can sit in front of me. I am glad to see you here this morning. My name is Marie. And what's your name? And what's your name? Agnes. Well, I know all of you, many of you, because of our online Sunday school that we did a while ago. So I just thought, aha, you just remembered, didn't you? I am glad that you are here, and I am really glad that I am here. Now, to start our message today, I want to begin by reading just the first part of today's Bible lesson, because that's what we're going to talk about, okay? So listen. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. A woman named Martha welcomed him, and the him is Jesus, into her home. So Jesus has been traveling, and he came to this house of his friends, and Martha welcomed him. Now, the word welcome is really important, and sometimes it can mean, we don't always have to say to somebody, you're welcome here. We show it by how we act. So sometimes, let's say in your house, you have some friends come over, and you go to the door and you greet them, and you say, come on in. That's a welcome. In school, let's suppose that you have a new student come into your classroom and they really don't know anybody. And you say, why don't you come and sit by me? Or why don't you come have lunch with me? That's welcoming them. Okay? That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to welcome everyone who comes around, because when we welcome others, as Jesus welcomes us. And you know what? We use a kind of a funny phrase sometimes. We say, we welcome Jesus into our hearts. Now, we all know that he doesn't climb into our hearts, but in a way, it's a symbol, right? When we know who Jesus is and we believe in Jesus, it's like we get this special feeling of love, and it's right here in our hearts. That's us welcoming Jesus into our hearts. And when we know Jesus, then we can welcome other people and make what we call community. When I came in here to church this morning, do you know that this church welcomes people too? When they pass out bulletins or they greet people at the door and say, hi, how are you? Glad to see you this morning. That's a very special welcome. Now there's something else that we do with a welcome, and I'm gonna need a couple of you to help me with this, because what we're gonna do is we're gonna hold this up so that the congregation can see what it is, then we're gonna lay it down and I'm going to talk about it, okay? Rylan, you want to, yeah, we'll hold it up. It's kind of heavy. Can you help? Good job. Okay, y'all see that? All right, now you may sit back down, and I'm going to put it right in front of us. I'm going back to the steps. Hang on here. There we go. All right, thank you. Now, what does that say? Yeah, welcome. But what else is on it? Pineapple. Now, sometimes in our houses, right outside our front door, we have what we call a welcome mat. Do you have that welcome mat at your house? Anything where people can kind of step on before they come in? And sometimes the welcome mat actually says, welcome. But sometimes the welcome mat just has a picture of a pineapple. Now, do you know why that would be on a welcome mat? Long ago, when Christopher Columbus was discovering new places, he went to a place called Guadalupe, far, far away. And the explorers who went there didn't know if they would be welcomed. And what they learned was that the homes in that village, if they had a pineapple hanging in front of their door or a pineapple sitting by their door, that was a symbol that you were welcome there. Well, these explorers went back to their own homes and they told people about that symbol, and everybody liked that. And then the pineapple became the symbol of welcome. And if you think about it, there are different places where you will see a pineapple. And whenever you do, remember that that's a symbol of welcome. I can think of one place there's a pineapple. If you ever get groceries at Bueller's, there is a pineapple hanging by their sign. And that's a sign that we're welcome to shop there. So, the pineapple then becomes a symbol of welcome. And we are supposed to welcome others because Jesus welcomes us into his, what we call a family. All of these people out here in the church, they're part of your family. And everyone is welcome to be a part of this. So, here is a great big pineapple. I'm going to show you something. See how I opened that up, and then can you see right here where it comes together? I'm going to take a paper clip, and I'm going to hook it together right there so that it stays, and then I can sit it here, and people can remember that Jesus welcomes us. We welcome others, just like the Bible story today where Martha welcomed Jesus. And so, to help you remember that, I have a pineapple, a little one, for each of you to take. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you pick your color. There are all different colors here, so pick one and pick what color you would like. And I put the paper clip there so that it would just not get lost. But when you go to put it together, you can hook that. And what I would like you to do with this is when you go home, put that paper clip or put that pineapple together and sit it somewhere, maybe in your room or in your house somewhere, so that you're always reminded that we don't keep others away. And if everybody wants to come and play with us, they're welcome, even if they're a new friend. And that can serve as your symbol of reminder that everyone is welcome. Is the actual person right It is perfect. Very good. You get that ready. So we're going to close with a prayer, and I'm going to say the prayer. I'm going to say it just one line at a time, and you repeat it after me, okay? So let's pray. We welcome you, Jesus, into our hearts. Help us welcome others so they can know that you love and welcome them too. Amen. Thank you for joining me here today. It was a nice welcome.
Let us stand for our next hymn, Take My Life That It May Be.
Seated. Well, first of all, let me say how glad I am to be back among you. It has been a long time, and it is always like coming home. There are so many familiar faces, so that's a real treat for me. But let me tell you something a little bit funny. When I went searching for the placemat to actually find one that had the pineapple on it, and yes, I did have to go search for that, I have to tell you that when I found the placemat with the pineapple on, beside it was another welcome mat, and beside it was another welcome mat, but it said, "Did you call first?" Not quite the same message. Let me also say that I've been doing workshops recently on the post-COVID church, right? How do we function? How do we continue? And we have learned so many things in this time of COVID. And one of them is the gift that we have of the internet and Zoom meetings and live streaming. And I just want to say how commendable it is that you are continuing to live stream your worship services. That's one of the learnings that we encourage churches to continue in this post-COVID world. And for those of you watching today, you are not spectators, you are participants in this worship service, and it is truly a gift of God that we have this technology that allows this to happen. So I'm happy to be here, and that's the end of my intro part. Now I forgot, this is my fault, I forgot to tell Ben what translation of the Bible I would be using for today's message. And so I'm going to read today's gospel lesson again, only I'm reading it from the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Now, it's always, I think, helpful to read the scriptures from a variety of translations because I think that helps us gain understanding and insight. So today's message is based on the New Revised Standard Version, which is just a little bit different in wording. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha. Are you aware that if you type Luke 10, verses 38 to 48 into an internet search, without fail, the headings that come up say Mary and Martha, not Martha and Mary. Mary always gets top billing. Now, the last 2 weeks of assigned scripture text, what we call the lectionary, what most pastors will turn to preach from, well, for the last two Sundays, the texts have been a study of contrasts. Contrast, basically, of hospitality. 2 weeks ago, the text was where Jesus sends the 70 disciples out, and they are to go into these villages and share the word of God and go visit into these homes. But Jesus tells them that if you are not welcome there, then shake the dust off your sandals and leave. So it was a study of contrast. Those who welcomed, good. Those who didn't, bad. Last week's text was about the Jericho Road. Those who came upon an injured man and saw he needed help, and some passed by and did nothing, and some responded and helped him. Contrast, helping good, not helping bad. Now that all really is the prelude to today's passage. On the heels of those contrasts of hospitality, today we find that Jesus shows up at the home of Mary and Martha, and maybe those previous texts are why, whenever this lesson is presented, we tend to view it in the same context as those lessons that preceded it. Contrast, good and bad. Mary good, Martha bad. So let's begin by looking at the background to today's scene. Jesus comes to the home of Martha, and the location of this is in Bethany. Now, Jesus knows this house. He's been here before. He knows this place. This is not the home of strangers. This is the home of friends. He didn't need a pineapple outside to let him know he was going to be welcomed. These are close friends. They're heart friends. And the place is Bethany. Bethany is Jesus' resting place. Repeatedly, we read that whenever Jesus needed to get away, to rest, to pray, to regroup, Bethany was his place. We even sing a hymn about this place in our Holy Week readings. Bethany, O peaceful habitation, blessed mansion, love abode, there my Lord had oft his resting station, converse held in friendly mood. With that bliss which Mary highly savored, I could wish this day still to be favored, but his presence makes to me every place a Bethany. It is an important place, and in this place, in Bethany, in the home of these close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, we find Jesus being welcomed. Lazarus is their brother. He is the one of whose, when the news of his death came, it says that Jesus wept. So these are the people that Jesus goes to. And right from the start of today's passage, hospitality is demonstrated. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Now think about that greeting. Whether she knew he was coming or not, I can pretty much imagine that it wasn't a handshake saying, well, hello, please come into my home. I'll bet it was a hug. I'll bet it was a, I'm so glad to see you. How are you doing? That's a friendly hospitality. Remember, Jesus didn't come to this home to preach and teach. There's no hillside opportunity here with the large crowds of people. No one in this story needed a healing. We aren't sure where the other disciples are, where they traveled with him, but it doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that Jesus came to the home of friends, and Martha welcomed him. From my earliest days in Sunday school, I have heard this story many, many times. And frankly, I've never liked it. It has always been presented as one of the women is good and the other one is bad. One of them's doing it the right way and one of them's doing it the wrong way. Now, if I'm to be completely honest, maybe I haven't liked this passage because I'm really more like Martha than Mary in the story, and so I guess I approach it with a little bit of defensiveness. I recently hosted some friends at my home for dinner. Now, some had been there before and some were coming for the first time, but the house got cleaned, groceries were purchased, the table was set the day before the dinner with the best china and the best glasses, and I even washed the front door. I cooked the entire day before, and I made a list of what time every item needed to go in the oven so that everything would be ready promptly at 6:30, the time I told our guests that we would eat. Well, the friends arrived, they were welcomed, they were hugged, glasses of wine were given, and I sent them with my husband to the family room while I attended to the last details of the dinner. Side dishes, check. Salad in bowls, check. Water poured, check. Main dish, not done. 6:30, main dish, not done. 6:45, not done. And while I am fretting over all of this, my husband is enjoying the laughter and stories being shared with the guests. So I go down to our family room and I offer apologies that dinner's going to be a little late. And I go back to the kitchen thinking that if I stare at that oven long enough, it's going to get done quicker. I am worried and distracted over many things. I'm Martha. But I can't say that Steve was Mary in this scenario. He wasn't sitting at the feet of our guests. So we're going to look at the real Mary in the story. It says that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now that terminology is very important. Don't miss that, because sitting at the feet of a teacher was a sign of you being a disciple, the learner. But I don't think that Jesus was teaching in this setting. He's in the home of good friends. I think that he's telling them the stories of his adventures, that he's telling them, I sent these 70 disciples into this village and they came back and here's what they told me. I had a lawyer come to me and ask me, what does it mean to be, what's the greatest commandment? And I had to explain to him that the definition of neighbor was going to be shown through the story of an injured man. He's telling his good friends the stories of what has been happening. I think it's a conversation with friends where he shares those experiences and Mary is listening closely. And for her, this conversation is way more interesting than fixing food. And when that main dish wasn't done at 7 o'clock, Martha marches into the living room and she says, Jesus, I want you to tell my sister to come help me. Now, don't you just find that incredibly interesting? She doesn't say, Mary, will you come in? I could use some extra help. Will you come into the kitchen? No, she tells Jesus to tell her. I think that's a very telling statement. Because what that says is it underscores the relationship that Martha had with Jesus. I would never have gone into our family room and told my guests to have Steve come up and help me. But you see, Martha isn't upset that the food isn't ready. Martha is upset that the food isn't ready, but she's also jealous that Mary gets to hear all these interesting stories while she's fixing this special meal for her friend. She's missing out. And while many presentations may interpret Jesus' response where he says Mary has chosen the better part, some might view that as a rebuke of Martha for not having her priorities straight. And some may interpret Jesus' response as saying that when he says that listening to the word of God is more important, that Mary has it right, they might interpret that as he's saying that's more important than anything else. But I don't think that's it. And I base that on the scripture passages that preceded today's assigned text. The disciples sent out by Jesus to share the word of God returned to share their experiences with Jesus. And the lawyer who questioned what is the greatest commandment and heard that the answer is to love God and love others, both of those passages were about hearing and doing. Both of them, contemplation and action. A disciple of Christ cannot have one without the other. Hearing the word of God and acting on it must be intertwined. So let's cut Martha a break. She was intent on providing extraordinary hospitality to Jesus through a perfect meal, and she was doing an act of love. But she longed to be hearing like Mary. And when Jesus says Mary has chosen the better part, I think he's saying, calm down, Martha. Stop worrying about whether the table looks like Martha Stewart set it and Ina Garten cooked the food. It doesn't matter. Hospitality isn't about perfection. Hospitality is being present in the moment with the person who is present. I hear Jesus saying, turn the oven off and come join us. I'm not sending Mary out to help you. I will not take this, which is the opportunity to be present and hear the stories, away from her. Martha wasn't necessarily guilty of something. She was exercising the best rules of hospitality, the doing of hospitality, and that's important. Mary also was exercising the best rules of hospitality, the hearing end of hospitality. Where Martha erred was in forgetting the primary rule of hospitality. What does the guest, the recipient, need? Jesus needed to be heard more than he needed a 4-star meal. Not heard in the teaching sense, but needing to be heard by friends as he recounted his recent experiences. Hospitality is about hearing and doing. Hearing, learning, and hearing the needs of those to whom you are going to minister, and then acting or doing on those needs. So, what might this passage be saying to us today? Well, hospitality is a spiritual gift. It is one of the spiritual gifts listed, and by definition, this is what it says. The gift of hospitality enjoys making others feel welcome and comfortable, enjoys contributing to the needs of the saints, finds fulfillment in meeting their needs, willingly provides for the welfare of those who cannot repay them, has a home others enjoy spending time in, and that often serves as a place of ministry, loves opening and sharing his or her home or space without the need for others to do the same for them, not afraid to extend hospitality to strangers. Hospitality begins with welcoming Jesus into our hearts, into our lives, into our homes. And our ministries grow out of that so that others may welcome Jesus into their lives. In a workshop that I lead titled Be the Church, I tell participants that when churches engage in goal setting, we shouldn't begin with what we see as our congregation's gift and abilities and plan ministries out of that, but rather we should identify first what they, meaning the community, the people, the congregation, need, and then use our gifts to develop the ministries based on those needs. In extending hospitality, we become Christ to others. It isn't about us. It is always about the other. How can we be hospitable and share the love and presence of Jesus with others? Yes, there may be tangible needs, but maybe those people just need a place to come and be accepted for who they are, a place to rest, a place to be loved, a place where people can relate to their needs, a place where people will listen, as Mary did for Jesus. May we always base our ministries on the actual needs of the community rather than on perceived needs. And perhaps most importantly, remember that hospitality is not about making us feel good. It's bringing others into the presence of God with that special welcome. Mary and Martha, Martha and Mary, hearing and doing, doing and hearing. Both are needed, and only Jesus gets top billing. So the question for us this week is, who in our midst is in need of receiving the gift of hospitality, and how will we respond? Get the welcome mat ready, the one with the pineapple. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for welcoming us into your family. Through study and devotions, we, like Mary, sit at your feet to learn and be filled. And like Martha, we go forward to love and serve others, welcoming everyone in your name. Amen.
Please stand for our closing hymn, Friends Welcome One Another.
As Christ's disciples, loving, caring, and welcoming the other as Jesus calls and leads. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.